Welcome to the podcast of First Baptist Church, Warrensburg, Missouri, where it is our goal to bring people to a genuine and growing relationship with Jesus Christ. It is our hope and prayer that this podcast will be a blessing and encouragement to you.
Well, this morning we're concluding our six-week series on the vision and the mission of FBC. And we've been doing this really to remind ourselves, maybe even instruct some for the very first time on what it is that we're here for. What it is that we're supposed to be about. We've talked about how we're to live out the mission of God day to day in our gospel communities. We've talked about how we do it as a family when we're gathered together, but as well as in our households. We've talked about our demonstration of the gospel, our embodiment of the mission, and our mercies and our justice ministries. And then last week we talked about how we are creative beings. Who honor, who glorify, who reflect God when we ourselves create. And so this morning, we conclude by looking outside of FBC. You'll be hearing from a lot of people, because what we want to do this morning is we want to educate you. We want to help connect you with some of our missions partners. And then we also want to just share the upcoming opportunities that you'll have in 2021 to go internationally with the gospel. And all hopefully we'll see this morning that every Christian and every local church is called of Jesus to make the good news that He is Lord and Savior known to all the earth. And so as a local church, we support financially, we send, and we partner with missionaries and church planters across the globe. Now, probably the primary way that we as a church support the work of church planting, support the work of evangelism is financial. That's because first and foremost, God calls us to give our first fruits to Him. And so just as we individually are called to give to the Lord, we believe that we as a church are called to give what we have to the mission of God. But then there's a second and a more pragmatic reason for this. That's because very few churches have the ability to fund church planters all on their own. But when we as churches work together, when we work cooperatively, we're able to do so much more than what any church can do by themselves. For example, you know, if a church planter and his family needed $60,000 to go plant a church somewhere, there are very few churches today that could fund that all on their own or fund that and still do other work. But if 10 churches each give $6,000, well, then there you go. And so each year, 10% of the income that FBC receives goes to our missions partners. You want us to give more to missions? Well, the more income we receive, the more we're able to give. And so each fall, the elders, we develop a missions budget. We identify partners and opportunities to work with. And then you, the congregation, you approve that when you approve our annual budget. And so if you're curious who those missions partners are, we've got copies of that available for you anytime. You're welcome to reach out to the church office. But I do want to just specifically highlight a few of those partners this morning. Because it's not long before you arrive in Warrensburg that you notice that the University of Central Missouri has a significant presence in our community. And we see it as a significant mission field. But rather than as a church just try to develop a college ministry ourselves and do it ourselves, there's a lot of great work that we've found already happening on the campus. And so we tried to partner and support a lot of the campus ministries there rather than just trying to reinvent the wheel ourselves. The UCM Navigators are one such group. Carmen and Cully Galloway are the campus directors of this ministry. They're both members of FBC. Cully is a deacon as well. The Navigators, their vision is to see people learn how to personally walk with Jesus and teach others how to do the same. And so it's just a wonderful ministry that happens there of sharing the gospel, but then also discipling young people. Likewise, the UCM Christian Campus House seeks to journey with students by discovering and building a deeper relationship with Jesus. Another member of FBC, Rico Jordan, one of the campus ministers there at the CCH. What I love about both of these ministries is just the potential of that campus ministry really offers us as a church, right? Because it's through campus ministry, through UCM, we're able to reach people not just in Warrensburg, but from across the state, across the Midwest, even across the globe. We have students come from all sorts of backgrounds, all parts of the earth, and they come to Warrensburg for a few years. And that gives us as a church an opportunity to help many of them hear the gospel, some for the very first time, to see them grow in their faith as well, before one day they leave and they take the gospel with them wherever their careers may go. And so FBC contributes to both the Navigators as well as to the campus Christian House. We support these ministries in other capacities and ways as well. But I really just want to encourage you to get to know these ministries. And so this morning after you leave, both the Galloways and the Jordans will be out in the lobby, and you can meet them, you can learn more about their ministry and ways that you might be able to support what they do. Because just what I love about both of these families is just that example of regular partners here at the church going out into the mission field. Another really neat example that we have in our family of faith is Corey and Jamie Chaplin. Corey attended and served here at FBC while he was at college, and he and Jamie have since become church planters in Rhode Island, working with a small church plant there. And so we as a church financially support the chaplains in their work. And they've spoken here before. They've shared a little bit about their ministry with us on a Sunday morning. They were supposed to do so in the spring, and then COVID got in the way of that. And so, again, there's more information about the chaplains in the lobby, but what I really wanted to do was just allow them to share with you themselves. And so here is Corey and Jamie.
Hello, FBC. My name is Corey Chaplin, and this is my wife, Jamie. And we recently just became parents to our little daughter, Lila, who was born on December 8th, which has been such a joy for us. Well, thank you for allowing us to speak briefly about our ministry. I currently serve as the pastoral assistant at Mount Hope Church here in Bristol, Rhode Island. We moved here a little over a year and a half ago now because we saw the great need for the gospel here in Rhode Island and the greater New England region. Rhode Island is one of the six states in the New England region, and recent polls have described us as the least religious, least Bible-minded, and post-Christian region in the U.S. One Christian writer posited that New England is the new American missions frontier. And that's how we kind of have to view ourselves here in Rhode Island, as somewhat like missionaries. You know, even though we are a part of a church here and I have pastoral-like duties, you know, when you're the religious minority, you have to view yourself as someone who is going to an unreached people group. So what are some areas of ministry the Lord has us in right now? While as a pastoral assistant, I have the opportunity to preach, teach, and care for the members of our church. Jamie and I have enjoyed getting involved in the college ministry that our church is able to have here at Roger Williams University. And we've seen the Lord work tremendously in our college ministry. You know, Jamie and I frequently get to disciple and meet with students on a regular basis and see how the Lord is working through their lives from one year to the next. Another area of ministry is just setting in, getting to know the people of Bristol. You know, and what that looks like for us is going to the same coffee shops over and over again and getting to know the baristas and regulars. You know, that looks like joining town committees and organizations. That looks like slowly building relationships with our neighbors. You know, I say slowly now, really slowly now that we're in this pandemic still, and that's a little tricky, but you know, we often say that people's receptivity to the gospel here in New England is not necessarily lower, but slower. And that's why we have to have a long-term view with our ministry here and just be faithful laborers. And so we're so glad to partner with FBC in this endeavor, and we could continue to covet your prayers for endurance, gospel opportunities, and faithfulness. Thank you, guys. God bless.
So again, there'll be more information about the chaplains at the north end of the lobby if you want to know more about their work and how to support and connect with them. Admittedly, I think North American missions is probably our biggest opportunity at FBC as we've really focused on other forms of ministry. And so I bring that to you as a church because a lot of us come from different places. And so we want to ask you if there's a place in the country where you know of a church plant or a place that you say, hey, I really think that FBC would partner well with this ministry. Please come and share that because we want to do more than just support the chaplains. We'd love to expand our influence and our work throughout the U.S. Because admittedly, our biggest focus over the last number of years has been developing international partnerships. It's something that just selfishly, I think the elders were very passionate about. And so we've identified a number of ministries that we both financially support as well as send mission trips to. we had plans for 2020. We all know what happened to those plans. But Lord willing, we hope in 2021 to send teams to Guatemala, to Serbia, to Albania, to Haiti. And so just to tell you a little bit about those ministries, first in Guatemala, FBC partners with local churches there, as well as the Tabitha ministry. And Tabitha works predominantly with children and women living in the city dump in some of the most deplorable of conditions. FBC has sought to provide resources, send mission trips to do evangelistic work, leadership development, help them develop a new second location. And so just to tell you more about those ministries, about the potential trip that Lord willing will take in the fall, I want to ask Jason Snowden to come and to share a little bit about those plans.
Buenos dias. Good morning. So, yeah, Jason already pointed out earlier that I saw a lot of you guys wearing some Chiefs jerseys today. So I took this excuse to support a true football team. As you guys may know, football in most of the world refers to soccer, not American football. That's okay. I'll be switching to a Chiefs jersey later on to watch the game. But now I'm wearing the national Guatemalan soccer team here. So our partnership with Guatemala has been longstanding. We've been blessed to get to partner with them for the last probably 13 years. Was the best of my calculations there. And we really have two approaches to our partnership with Guatemala. And Patrick stole a little bit of my thunder, but that's okay. One of the ways that we partner really is through church planting. And so we have about 50 Baptist Guatemalan churches down there in the northern province of Xela. And our church has been able to partner with many of those churches, especially smaller church plants or larger churches which are exploring and initiating church plants through medical mission trips. So during the medical mission trips, we collaborate with First Baptist Lee Summit. We collaborate with First Baptist Farmington. We take a team of 25 down there, and we give free medical care. We give free medications. We do reading glasses. We do VBS activities. We get to go into the public schools. We get to do home visits during which we bring food and we give the gospel presentation. We see people come to faith in that. It's just a wonderful thing. And through that effort, we've seen these churches grow in membership. They've grown in standing with the community. A lot of times we've been in communities where there is no evangelical church, there's no Protestant church, maybe there's a Catholic church, but really these churches have been able to get a foothold into the community, and we've gotten feedback from them that because of what we've done, it's opened doors for the gospel to go forward. So that's been a real blessing. As Patrick said, the other partnership that we have in Guatemala is with Tabitha Ministries. So Tabitha Ministries, as he said, is in Guatemala City, and it is in the city dump. So imagine the largest kind of landfill city dump you can. And, I mean, buzzards flying overhead. The stench is just astounding. And in that, Tabitha, just a few blocks away from that, is working to minister to mostly women and children who live in and around that area. The people who live around there, these people actually go into the dump and they find things that they can recycle, that they can sell, that they can do something with at risk of, really risking their life as there's sometimes landslides of this. It's just a horrible condition. But Tabitha, over the years, we've gotten to the privilege to see that grow. At one point, it was a one-story building and they were just working with a few kids. And now, over the years that we've been there, we've seen it grow to a three-story building. They've expanded from offering a nursery all the way up to middle school education. They give kids two meals a day. They clothe them. They give them access to medical care, schooling. And then they even have a church that they've started there at Tabitha, upstairs in the sanctuary that they built. And we've got to partner with that. All the teams that we've taken down there throughout the years have got to see Tabitha and see our partnership there, which has been a real blessing. I think that has given a heart for Tabitha to many of our church members. And so I think that's something that's been exciting. In 2019, we were able to take a team just from FBC solely to work with Tabitha. And at that time, we went down and we worked with the kids. We worked with the teachers in doing teacher education and enrichment activities. We did a teacher appreciation event because these teachers, they pour their hearts into these kids. And so often, as you can imagine, don't see themselves being poured into as well. So that's been a real blessing to be a part of. Our heart had been to go to Guatemala in 2020. And as you can imagine, that didn't happen. A lot of reasons for that. But in that, Guatemala has felt the impact of COVID as well. Whereas maybe statistically they've had less per capita even than we've had in the States, but their healthcare system does not compare to what we have. And so even in that group of 50-plus churches that we partner with in the northern province of Sheila, we heard report of three of the pastors passing away from COVID. And so that was really tough. Tabitha was impacted as well. The way that they were able to minister to kids, they had to focus their efforts on the nursery and the younger kids and then work with the other children by bringing food to their homes, by bringing their assignments and working in that fashion rather than being able to safely distance and have all the kids under the roof. So that's something that has been a challenge. The country shut down to international travel, and it wasn't until September that they opened back up to the U.S. flying in there, and that was with, you know, a negative COVID test within 72 hours. That being said, our heart is to go back to Guatemala this year. Several of us have gone many, many years, and my family, I think of Colleen Hurd, who goes as Frida the Clown, and just we've got a lot of people who've gotten to go once or more than once, too, and we're welcoming and encouraging you guys to come with us. We don't have definitive plans, but we're looking at the fall because of COVID and vaccination status down there and in the country being in a safer place, and even for us to not take COVID down there as we're going to be working among kids and working among patients and trying to protect them as well. So that's something. So I would ask three things today, and these are not things that you haven't heard before, but I'm just going to say them again. First of all, I would ask you to pray for Guatemala. And I know so often when somebody says, can you pray for something, you say, yes, I will. And maybe if you're like me, unless you sit there and do it at the moment or you write it down on your calendar, sometimes you say it with a sincere heart and best intentions, but it doesn't happen. So I would ask you to do that. I would ask you to take a flag or a map or something of Guatemala, put it on your refrigerator or put it on your screensaver on your phone or on your computer or put it in your calendar or in your prayer journal. But make an intentionality of praying for Guatemala. Pray for our brothers and sisters there who are a part of a harvest that's fruitful in the country of Guatemala. Every time we go there, we see people come to faith, and it's an exciting thing. I would ask you to pray for Tabitha Ministry as they're overcoming and responding to these challenges that they're facing. I would also ask you to give. As Patrick said, this last year I've gotten to be the elder liaison for the Finance Committee, and I get that times have been tight and tough for a lot of our families. It's been tight and tough for our church family. But I want you to know that as we give, we're not just giving to do what we do here on Sundays. We're not just giving for the lights and for the staff and for our debt payment. We are giving, as Patrick said, to missions. We're giving to feed those who are hungry. We're giving to clothe those who need clothing. We're giving so that the gospel is going out and being received, not just in our community, but around the world. So as you give and you say, well, my gift may be small, but together those gifts are doing amazing things. And so I would encourage you in that to be faithful, please, to do so. And then finally, I'd ask you to go. I would challenge you to go. Whether or not you've gone to other mission trips before, whether or not you've never been on an airplane in your entire life, I would just ask you with a sincere heart to prayerfully ask God, is He leading you to be a part of a trip, not just Guatemala, but the various trips that we're talking about here. Just see where He's leading you. I will tell you the impact is not just on those people that we're going to be to minister to. The impact so often is even more felt on those people who go as they take themselves out of their comfort zone, as they rely heavily on God, as they form deeper relationships with brothers and sisters. So please prayerfully consider going this next year. Thank you.
Beginning in 2017, we started working with International Mission Board missionaries Josh and Kristen Heppner. They've spoken here before on a Sunday morning. And so we were blessed to send a team to help provide English training, do baseball, football camps, outreach parties, Bible distribution, construction, all the more. But it's really been interesting to listen to Chris talk about the Heppners and the work that God has called them to here in 2020, that despite COVID challenges, how all sorts of new opportunities have opened up for the gospel to go. And so I'm going to ask Chris to come and to share about what the Heppners are doing, and then again, how FBC can, Lord willing, partner with them.
Thank you, Patrick. Good morning, church. Patrick told me that I only had about 30 minutes, so we really need to get moving here, and that's why I have a script. I try to keep myself disciplined. Serbia is located in southeastern Europe. It was formerly part of Yugoslavia before the Balkan War split it all apart in the 90s. Kosovo also was part of Serbia at that time. There are beautiful mountains and streams, equaled only by the beautiful people that are there. They have four seasons, just like we do, about the same latitude. So now let's talk more about the people. Serbia is an Orthodox Christian nation, similar to Russian Orthodox or Greek Orthodox. To be Serb is to be Orthodox. You're just born that way. The priest baptizes you when you're 8 days old, assuming that your parents paid the priest to come do that. The Orthodox Church split away from the Catholic Church in 1054 in the Great Schism. I'm sure Patrick could tell us more about that. This was about 463 years before the Protestant Church split away from the Catholic Church in 1517. So their traditions are old and in place. The Orthodox faith for most Serbs is very ceremonial, very superstitious, and very superficial. You celebrate the correct holidays, you go to church at certain times, you light a candle when somebody dies, and then you pay the priest for certain services, or at least that's my view of what Orthodoxy is. On this slide, you can see the inside of the Serbian Orthodox Church in Kragujevac. There are many icons, beautiful icons, around the church. It's a tradition for them to have many of the characters from the Bible portrayed in that way. They're two-dimensional. They can be prayed to, they can be kissed, they can be paid or given offerings to, and this is all okay because they're not three-dimensional like idols would be, and that would be idolatry if they were three-dimensional, but two-dimensional is okay. Next, I want to talk about the Serbs and their huge, huge hearts. They consider it a great joy to host people in their homes or even in their country if you're a foreigner or a stranac. People would constantly say to me, Chris, you're my guest. Come with me. Chris, let me show you this. Let me show you that all the time. Serbs love to cook. They love to eat. They love to serve, and they love to drink. Whenever you arrive in someone's home, they're likely to offer you a drink and a snack of some type. This harkens back to a time when travel was exhausting and the guests may be famished. Juice or coffee and some type of sweet cracker are often offered. Here you can see Turkish coffee being poured into cups. So if you don't like coffee, you're in trouble. And if you do like coffee, you're in trouble. Serbs love to laugh, talk, and share. Friendships are more important there than they are here, honestly. There's no such thing as a friend that you haven't spoken to in months. You see your friends every day. And that may sound exhausting, but it's actually quite wonderful. Serbs are stiff-necked, proud, and stubborn. They're not flexible. They're not coachable. They're not teachable. They'll tell you what you're doing wrong, even though they have no clue what they're talking about. It's kind of like Missouri. I got him. All right. Even though they're wary of strangers and foreign ways, they are curious. 2 summers ago, our mission team here from FBC was in a piazza or open market. This lady asked us where we were from because we might have stuck out just a little bit. Becky and I spoke to her in our broken Serbian, and she was thrilled. She complimented us, or lied to us, several times about how well we spoke. And it was wonderful. It was a great exchange. These are two of our Serbian friends from 14 years ago. The man in the plaid shirt was explaining to us that his restaurant got closed because of the health department shut him down. I asked him what went wrong, and he told me that he didn't bribe the correct official. So then he invited us into his home to serve us a meal because he was ashamed that he couldn't serve us in his restaurant. Those are the kind of hearts that people have there. And I would say that's not like Missouri. Serbs are passionate. Everything is important. Everything is worth getting excited about. And so when Serbs are yelling at each other, they're not necessarily angry, they're just invested. When Becky and I lived in Serbia, Marco was one of my football players and baseball players, and he came to our home Bible study. In 2018, we contacted Marco, and he invited us to his lake home with his family. His parents were there, and they hugged us, even his dad, who wouldn't have anything to do with us when we lived there. We got to meet his wife and his son that we'd never met before. And Marco kissed me at least 5 times when we were there. It was odd and wonderful all at the same time. And I miss him. So there are M's that are sponsored by the company in Serbia, and they are careful to use specific language because of security concerns and government regulation. So when we talk about Josh and Chris and their family, we have to be a little bit careful. It's not that it's unsafe for them in any way. It's just that to maintain a permanent visa, they have to say the right things. So in 2018, they came here, and they spoke to our church, and Josh challenged us, and me specifically, to come back to Serbia, and that's what we're going to do. They've divided Serbia into 6 regions you can see on the map. Our church has adopted Centralna Srbija Zapad, which is West Central Serbia, and you can see it in green on the lower left. That includes Čačak, where Becky and I lived for 2 years, and part of our missions budget here at FBC goes to support ministries in that area. One of the current projects, including sports ministry and English education ministry, includes Isus Mesija, which means Jesus the Messiah. And they're essentially, these are ads on Facebook. And with all the lousy things that go on Facebook, this is one of the good things that goes there. Several different levels of response are there, and follow-up is easy to have. You can see that last year, between April and June, nearly 2 million screens saw the ad about Jesus, the Messiah. And almost 750,000 of those people viewed the ad. And of that, 585,000 watched the 15-second video. And then you can see another portion that watched the full 2-minute video. There was real fruit that came from this ministry, from an ad on Facebook. So the next four slides are pictures of our team that went in 2019. We couldn't go last year. We wanted to, but we couldn't for all the obvious reasons. And this is our whole team at Calimegdon. It's a fortress in Belgrade. The next slide is Lindsay Oxley preparing crafts for a women's night that we sponsored. We invited women from the community to come and just be pampered and loved. You can see my friend Rocco and I arguing about something. I don't remember what it was, but that's all we seem to do is argue about stuff, which is wonderful. That's Serbian, just to argue and yell. You can see Becky with Lindsay on the left and her dear friend Morella on the right at a restaurant, just enjoying time together. Maybe you're asking yourself, what can you do? Just like Jason said, the first thing to do is pray. Please pray for Serbia. Pray for the missionaries that are there. Pray for the trips that are going there. We would like to enlist you to be on the Serbian prayer team, where you'll get email and Facebook updates from Josh and Kristen. They'll tell you exactly who you can pray for, what you can pray for. Last week, Josh's message was that their table got shut down by the police. They hand out Bibles on a weekly basis, and they got shut down. 2 weeks ago, he told us that he was able to baptize somebody in their home and break bread with them. So it's all up and down. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. We should pray for them. The second thing you can do is give. Continue to tithe, please. Our budget does give money to those missions items and causes. You can also support Lottie Moon. The Christmas offering goes directly to missionaries on the field. And then you can support people that are going on trips. Becky and I were so blessed that you guys opened your finances to us and sponsored us to go before. It's very humbling when those checks roll into the mail. You just sit and cry together and just feel God's love and providence in your life. The third thing you can do is go. Please come with us. We're thinking about going the second week of June this year. We're going to try. We're going to see if we can push through and make it happen. So I'll be out in the North Kiosk, and I'll tell you more. I just have limited time. The last slide is just a picture that I love because there's a little girl that I love in there. Thanks, Patrick.
Thanks, Chris. That was good, too, man. That was good, too. Also, that same year that we sent a team to Serbia, we began a partnership with a conglomerate of pastors and churches in Albania. And so we took a team here to run an English language camp for Albanian university students. We participated in leadership conferences, pastoral training in the country. And this summer, Lord willing, we're hoping to do so as well in the capital city of Tirana, in Durres, and as well as in the small town of Belisht. I always tell people, if you are curious, if you're qualified to go to Albania, there are really only just two things that I would ask, and that is, can you speak English and do you love Jesus? Because if you can do both of those things, well then it's a great opportunity for you. Much like Serbia, a lot of university students study English at the universities in Albania, but they've never had the opportunity to practice their English with a native English speaker. Albania is a country that loves America. America has had really an influence in that country and helping to see it as an independent democracy. And so university students love to spend time with Americans just practicing their English. And that's what we do at these camps is we sit down and we talk. We go over just basic phrases that you're not going to learn in a grammar book. But then a lot of the content of those conversations start to get around worldview. And Albania is a country that for decades was officially atheistic. And so there really is no religious background or heritage in that country. And so a lot of the young people have questions. They don't know what they believe. And it's given us a great opportunity to share the gospel with them. Also, a big need there are these leadership conferences. There are many Christian professionals who really just don't know how to take their faith into their work or are just curious about how to run a better business. And so I would say if you speak English, love Jesus, and have just been in the workplace, there are great opportunities for you to connect as well. And so like Jason, like Chris, we're starting to be a broken record, but maybe eventually it'll sink in. We would just encourage you to pray for Albania. Again, give. your offerings here, but as Chris mentioned, maybe you can't go, but you can help somebody else go. And so I would encourage you to explore that as well. And then please come in the spring, Lord willing, going to be participating in a leadership conference and pastoral training. And then later in the summer, an English language camp with university students. And so if you have any interest, again, please come see me after you've seen Jason, after you've seen Chris. Come see me and we'll talk about Albania and how you can support that work. Finally, in case Guatemala, Serbia, Albania don't appeal to you, maybe the country of Haiti does. Following the catastrophic earthquake in January 2010, Haiti's become the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. There's little access to education, little access to clean water and basic medical care. Beginning in 2011, the Ministry Disciples Village began planting orphanages and just covering the landscape of Haiti with the love of Christ. And so Jeff wants to take and lead a trip to Haiti this coming summer, and so I will ask him to come and tell you about that.
Today in Haiti, they are expecting record low temperatures. It's supposed to be about 85 today, so another reason you should maybe join us this next year in Haiti. Well, as Patrick was saying, on January 12, 2010, a 7.0 magnitude earthquake hit the island of Haiti in the Dominican Republic. And in a matter of hours, about 250,000 people died in the city of Port-au-Prince alone. And from there, what was already a poor country and a country that was hurting became already the poorest country in the entire Western Hemisphere. And to give you an idea of what that looks like, I know aid came in over and over and over during that time of the earthquake. Millions and millions of dollars poured into the country. But just to give you an idea, they're still in a hard spot. For every $100 you make, the average Haitian makes about 16 cents. Just to give you an idea of kind of where they are. And so, a friend of mine who was a pastor of the church that I was serving at, he decided to leave and to go down to Haiti to spend as much time as he could down there. And he's now there full time. They went down there to help children. If you have 250,000 people who die in a matter of hours, you have a lot of children now who are orphans. So they began to start an orphanage, work with other orphanages, and then the longer that they have done that now, they went until about 2018. They still have an orphanage there where they are, right outside of Port-au-Prince. But what they're trying to do now is say, hey, we don't want to just keep funneling kids into these situations. We want to change the narrative. And we want to stop saying, let's help kids who are orphans, but let's start stopping them from becoming orphans in the first place. And so they've kind of changed their name. Disciples Village is what they are now. And so their role now is say, hey, how do we go into these villages and stop this from happening? So they go in and they plant a church and begin to train a pastor there. And so right now there's about 11 villages that they are in training people. The further away you get from Port-au-Prince, the nicer of an area it is, but the poorer it becomes. And so they're trying to go into these areas and plant these churches. And then where they plant a church, they start planting a school to get education there. Just to give you an idea is you can go get education, but most of the time you can't afford it. So they don't really have a public education system because when they do, they promise the teachers they'll pay them. And then they'll say, yeah, just keep working, keep working. Well, we promised you the checks in the mail, and it never comes. So the teachers quit, the students go home. Most people there have about a first or second grade education reading level. And so they go in and they plant a school. They go in and help get clean water. All those to be able to plant churches and share the gospel. And so right now, I would love for you to come and join my wife and I to come either this summer or in the fall. We're looking at when's going to be the best time to come and to help be a part of it. So we do things like run VBSs for kids, training of pastors, women's ministry conferences. Anything we can do is more than what they're going to ever get. And so just an opportunity for us. We've seen over the last several years hundreds and hundreds of people come to faith in Jesus, be baptized, and now go and making disciples of others there within the country. And so I hope that you will come and join us. And so I would say the same thing. You know, I would consider praying for Haiti. I would consider continue to give, in case you haven't heard it again. And then also come and join us when we go. And so, but the difference from these guys is come stop and see me talk about Haiti first and then go to the other guys from there. So thanks, Patrick.
You're a jerk. My love language is being mean, okay? So that was like a Serbian kiss. I hope you see this morning there are a lot of opportunities for you in some sort of capacity, whether it is locally at the university, whether it's North America, whether it's going to the ends of the earth. There, our goal as elders is that for anybody who wants to go on mission, that you'll have that opportunity. And I think that we have that available to you. And so, again, stop in the lobby. Spend some time. You've got nothing going on until 5:30 today. And so go talk, find out about what we're doing and how you can be engaged in it. Over these last 6 weeks, we've just wanted to define and to explain, what does it mean that our vision is to follow God by following Him and His mission to fill the earth with His glory? We've been trying to explain, what does it mean that our mission is to partner as a family in the Holy Spirit to make disciples of Jesus Christ who make disciples? And I hope what we have really shown you over these last 6 weeks is that everything we do as a Christian is mission. That's God's purpose for your life. It's all encompassing. And so we do. We want you to go on specific trips and be intentional in certain ways. But we really just want you to see your whole life as just that, as existing to make the name of Jesus known and glorified. And I realize over these last 6 weeks, maybe it has seemed like a lot of stuff that we're talking about. But that's the purpose for which God created the world. I mean, what we've been talking about for 6 weeks is just simply what it means to follow Jesus daily. And the reality is that your schedule doesn't actually need to change much to get engaged. What needs to change is your attitude about your days, your focus, your intentionality. Living on mission is a mindset. And that's why we do it together. We do it as a family. We support each other. We encourage each other. Sometimes we need to admonish one another, but we do it together. Every Christian, you have been reborn into a family to see the nations magnify the name of Jesus. And so may His worship, may that be the flame to our mission. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I pray not for just now, but beginning with this moment, that Father, You would stir in our hearts, You would stir in our minds. Father, that we would be excited as we just think about the bigness of who You are and the bigness of Your mission. That You have just an incredible purpose for us individually, but for us as a church as well. And so, Lord, I just pray, stir our affections for Your Son, Jesus. Father, that He would be magnified in us, Father, because we know that the bigger that Jesus is in our lives, in our minds, in our hearts, Father, that pursuing Him, worshiping Him, proclaiming Him would naturally follow. And so, Lord, for some of us, Lord, convict us. Show us the places where we're not just seeking to worship You day in and day out. Father, for others of us, that You would just make it clear what that opportunity You would call us to be in. As we've talked about a lot of things this morning, Father, I am confident that one of these elements would resonate with each of us. And so, Father, I pray that You would stir in our hearts that way. And that, Father, maybe for some of us in this church, it wouldn't be about going on a mission trip. Father, You're calling us to go full time, to leave our job, to leave our homes, and to go. Father, I just pray that You would make the next steps for each of us clear this morning. That You would increase our love and our affections for Your Son, Jesus. And that You would unify us as a family of faith around Your mission. That would be the thing that defines us as FBC, a family of faith who are passionate about seeing the name of Jesus made known to the very ends of the earth. May that be what we are known for as a church. And so lead us in this time, begin to lead us in this time, that all we do would magnify You and Your Son, Jesus. It's in His name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. This podcast is intended to be a supplement to your local church and cannot replace your regular involvement there. If you are not currently part of a local church, we would be happy to assist you in finding one. Simply contact us through our website, www.fbcwberg.org.